Chapter 8, God's Chosen People. There has been much misunderstanding as to what is meant by the terms sons of God. Considering that the scriptures of the Bible were written by several different authors, the phrase sons of God could have different meanings in different scriptures. This may hold true for many words and phrases in the Bible. If one believes that Adam and Eve were of the same spirit, which was that of the Son of God, then logically speaking, their direct descendants could be considered or referred to as the sons and daughters of God. Just as Jesus was of the house of David, Adam's direct descendants were of the house of Adam. Genesis 2 describes the time in history when the sons of God, meaning the direct descendants of Adam, saw the daughters of men, meaning the daughters of humans, who were not of the house of Adam, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. These writings speak of the time in history when the male descendants of Adam began to marry women from outside the family, from a different tribe, maybe even from a different race of people. Genesis 3 goes on to say, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." Is God acknowledging that the needs of human flesh body will at times override its spiritual relationship with God? Does this passage reiterate that because of their flesh needs, man is a sinner by default? Genesis 6:4 says, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." In this passage, the word giant would not necessarily refer to the behemoth creatures we create in fantasy stories. Were it not for sports on television, most of us would never encounter a 7-foot-tall, 300-pound athlete. In biblical times, a man of such stature would have been called a giant. When the sons of God began marrying the daughters of men from a different tribe or race, their children were what we call mixed, and they had an appearance much like those of the other tribe or race, mighty men which were of old, men of renown. When Adam's descendants began to marry outside the family, the pure lineage of the family began to diminish. And, according to Scripture, these people were becoming more and more hedonistic. Genesis 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Note that in this case, it's man's imagination that causes him to be evil. Without a spirit, would we even have imagination? This reiterates my conclusion that an evil spirit is required for evil to occur. As a result of the intertribal marriages, there became fewer and fewer of those who could be termed the sons and daughters of God. In that same chapter, Genesis 6, God becomes so upset with the house of Adam that he decides to destroy all mankind and start over. That, of course, becomes the story of Noah and the ark. According to the story, God uses a flood to destroy the world as known to Noah. God warned Noah in advance and instructed him to build an ark by which to save himself, his family, and representatives of all species on earth. These species would be used to feed Noah and his family while on the ark, and to replenish the earth after the floodwaters reside. By use of the ark, God allowed a lineage to continue that ran from Adam, which was the son of God, through Noah and his descendants, all the way to Jesus of Nazareth, who was the son of God. The entire Old Testament is written around this lineage. As far as Noah was concerned, the flood covered the entire earth and had destroyed all mankind, other than those on the ark. Were all men on earth destroyed by the flood, or just those known to Noah? Was Noah aware that the world is a sphere and that other races of human beings existed on other continents? Not likely. If from his ark Noah could see nothing but water, he would reasonably assume that the whole world was flooded. His whole world was underwater. As Noah's story got passed on through generations, it was told as though the flood had destroyed all life on earth other than those representatives preserved on Noah's ark. Contrary to popular belief, as per the Bible, there were not only two of each animal on earth on the ark. According to the scriptures, there were at least 7 and possibly 14 of every animal considered clean, or shall we say edible. There were also 7 pairs of each of the birds of the air. If the ark had as many of every species in the world as described in the Bible, it would amount to an astronomical number of beasts, fowl, insects, etc. If, as per the story, the whole world had been covered with water for as long as described, it would have amounted to a mass extinction of species larger than that which caused the dinosaurs to disappear long before man's existence on Earth. My point is that if there was in fact such an event as described in the story of Noah and the Ark, there were fewer species involved than the story might indicate. I feel certain that Noah did not travel to North America to get a pair of any of the many species native to that continent. His ark only contained those species he was aware of. The real importance in the story of Noah and the ark lies in the reason for and the destruction of a large group of people. Once again, the Old Testament is a history of a people, the people being the descendants of Adam. And this particular history is included in the Holy Bible simply because it includes the lineage which runs from Adam to Jesus. Noah's story explains that all men on earth were destroyed by a flood, yet we know that there were other tribes and other races of people that existed during the Old Testament after the flood that would not have existed then or today had they been destroyed by the flood. Over time, the descendants of Adam separated into tribes. These tribes are referred to as God's chosen people, a race of people that had a relationship with the one true God.